The psalmist mentions that he had and has meditating on the law of God all day. I'm going to talk a little bit this morning with you about a practice that we encourage here at Warfield, and that is daily Bible reading. I'm glad that you're here. It's good to be able to come together to worship, and it's good to have those back with us who've been out of town, and we look forward to having the rest of our spiritual family back. We keep them in mind, of course, in our prayers, and those who will be traveling in the near future, we will keep you in mind as well. Do we meditate on God's law all day long? Think about how that might change us if we were to do something like that. How that would affect our daily activities, how that would affect our attitude or our mindset. Daily Bible reading is not something particular and peculiar to Warfield Boulevard. There are many brethren around the country and even around the world that read their Bibles daily. There are other congregations where the elders encourage its members to read the Word of God daily. I grew up in a family that encouraged Bible reading every morning after breakfast. We try to do that in our home in the evening, whether together or individually. We try to make that a habit. The psalmist says something in verse 97 that allows for daily Bible reading to be very easy. He says, "I love your law." We don't have trouble doing anything that we love. If we love something, we don't have any trouble doing that. If we love to eat, we don't have any trouble doing that. If we love dessert, we don't have any trouble having dessert. If we love God's law, not just words, not just sentiments, but we really do, then we have no trouble meditating on it all day long. This morning I want to talk about the importance of daily Bible reading as we are still somewhat at the beginning of this year. And if we've still not made that a practice, to let 2022 be that year that we make that practice. We're creatures of habit. And especially as we get older, we get stuck in these routines. And it starts the moment your feet hit the floor in the morning when you get out of bed. Everything has a habit to it. Getting ready personally, food preparation, putting on your clothes. A lot of it is just habit. Some people have good habits, some people have bad habits, but we're creatures of habit. And we can make Bible reading, regular Bible reading, a habit, a good habit. We can make it an addiction. A lot of times that English word addiction gets a bad connotation. I think pretty much every time we use the word addiction, it's in a negative context. Drug addiction, alcohol addiction, pornography, whatever it is. But addiction is actually a neutral word. We can have good addictions. Addiction just simply means that we're dependent on something. That we are completely given over to that, that we are completely dedicated to that, and we can have good addictions. And an addiction is not only a dependence, but an addiction is something that we find pleasurable. That's why we return to it. Now, there are some addictions that people have that are painful. There are people that have cutting addictions. They cut themselves. That actually hurts. But most addictions, people find pleasurable in some way. It gives their body some sort of pleasure, and so that's why they return to that. And we can make Bible reading, daily Bible reading, an addiction. How long would it take to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? How long would it take you to do that? If you were to read your Bible at just a standard reading pace, You could read the Bible all the way through in 1 year, 12 minutes a day. Can you give God 12 minutes of your day? When you consider how much the rest of the day is spent on us and what we want, could I give God 12 minutes? When you consider how much time you give to your work and how much time that we give to hobbies and recreation and TV and how often we look at our phone, there's statistics on how often people look at their phone. It's well over 100 times every day, just multitudes of times. Could we give God 12 minutes? We think sometimes that reading our Bible all the way through is just this monumental task. It's like climbing Mount Everest. There's just no way we could do that. 12 minutes a day, you could read it all the way through in a year. In 1969, a denominational preacher was writing a book about, he was extolling the virtues of reading God's Word. And in preparation for the writing of that book, he ran across a man from Kansas City. This is in the late 1960s. True story. He had burnt his face and his hands at work because of an explosion. And he was severely burned in his face and in his hands. And he had become a Christian around that time, and he wanted nothing more than to read more of the Bible, to read more of God's Word. And so he was doing some research on Braille. And he was thinking about, maybe I could read the Bible in Braille by feeling those Braille letters with my lips. So he tried that. He can't see. He was blinded by that explosion. He can't see. His face is burnt, his hands are burnt, so he can't read the Bible in Braille with his fingers like you would normally do. Well, he's doing research on Braille, and somebody suggested maybe you can read those letters with your lips. So he started in on that, and he tried that, but it didn't work. But one day, he was trying to read that Bible in Braille with his lips, and his tongue came out of his mouth and hit one of those letters, and he got the bright idea, wait a minute, maybe I can learn how to read Braille with my tongue. And he did. True story. He read the Bible. The man that was doing the research for this book had run across this man from Kansas City. He had read the Bible through 4 times with his tongue. Now, can we read the Bible? Sure we can. If we have the determination, if we have the love, we can do it. If a guy can read the Bible 4 times through with his tongue, surely we can read with our eyes. Talk about, oh, how I love thy law. Wow, that brings a whole new meaning to that. So this morning I want to talk about 4 reasons why it is good to read our Bible regularly. First of all, because this is what God wants. In Joshua chapter 1 in verse 8, as Joshua is going into Canaan land, God tells Joshua, I want you to meditate on the Word of God day and night. Isaiah 34 in verse 16, seek out the book of the Lord and read. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul encourages the letter there at Colossae to also to be read in the church at Laodicea, and that the letter that had gone to Laodicea, that they would read that at the church of Colossae. 1 Thessalonians 5:27 calls that this epistle be read among you. These are commands. These are encouragements. These are statements. We need to read God's Word every day because God wants that. Just like we would never skip a physical meal, we would never go a day without skipping a physical meal unless there's something wrong with us. We typically physically eat every day. Let's spiritually eat and drink every day. 12 minutes if we wanted to read the whole Bible. If we just wanted to read part of the Bible in a year, it would be much less than that. But we can surely give that much time to God. And of course, in 1 Timothy 4:13, in the imperative or command form, Paul tells Timothy, give attention to reading. This is the public reading of Scripture, because the three times where this word is used in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 3 and Acts 13, and here, it's always used of the public reading of Scripture. But whether it's the public reading or the private reading of Scripture, Paul says to give attention to that. It's something that God wants us to do. And what a great benefit it will give us, as we will see in just a minute. In the bulletin, if you'll read that today, you may enjoy that article. It's entitled, The Words of Christ in Red. It tells about how the first red letter edition of the Bible was printed in 1900. And it's some interesting information in that article that you might find. All of the words in the New Testament are the words of Christ, not just in red. And we don't have as many of those Bibles as we used to. They used to be very popular. I don't see them as much anymore as I used to, but red letter Bibles. But in a sense, it's good to be reminded of the color of red. The individual who made that Bible read Luke 22:20, where Jesus said, this is the blood of the covenant. And he thought red would symbolize his blood. Of course it does. And then the words of Christ. Jesus did shed his blood for those words. But I made mention at the end of that bulletin article that other people shed their blood as well. Jesus shed his blood to dedicate those words. But do you know that other people shed their blood to preach those words? What about Stephen? What about Stephen? Did he shed any blood? And did anybody shed any blood to live those words? In the first century, there were Christians, you can read about them in the book of Revelation and other places, who shed their blood living the words of Christ. And then finally, where it comes into play with us, there were individuals who shed their blood to translate the Word of God into English, and William Tyndale comes to my mind in the early 1500s. Do you know that to get the Bible in English, William Tyndale suffered greatly to translate that Bible from Greek and Hebrew into English. Some of our first English Bibles came about because of William Tyndale. Literally shedding their blood to give us a translation that we can easily understand in our own language. Now all we have to do is pick it up and read it every day. Let me encourage us to read the Bible every day, because it is exemplified. If you were to do that, you would be in the company of those down through time who are extolled by God. It's exemplified by godly men and women throughout Scripture and throughout time. Turn with me to Psalm 1. You're in the company of the blessed. You're a part of that group that God says, look at these people and follow them. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. Notice, like Psalm 119, that there is a statement made about an attitude before there is a practice. the practice is meditating on God's law day and night. But before that, there's an attitude that is mentioned. In Psalm 119, it was love. Here is, he delights in the law. When we love and delight in God's law, the practice of meditating on it day and night and reading it, that'll just come naturally. But blessed is that man. You're in the company with David. You're in the company with Ezra and Nehemiah that we're going to talk about in just a moment, who read God's Word every day. You're in the company of the noble Bereans in Acts 17 and 11 who searched the Scriptures daily. You're in the great company of godly individuals throughout time who read their Bible every day. I want to be in that company, do you? I'm told that George Washington's secretary, Robert Lewis, writing a biography about our first president, said that he would go to his room after getting up at 4 a.m. He would get up at 4 a.m. and he would go into his private library for morning devotions. And he always concluded each day with Bible reading and prayer. Can you imagine if every president from George Washington to the present would do that? Maybe how different things would be. Great individuals who do great things for others and for the Lord, they're often, if not always, tied to a regular reading of the Word of God. And that's why they're great individuals. We need to read the Word of God every day because it is blessed. There are short-term blessings and there are long-term blessings, and I want to talk about that for just a little bit. When we read the Word of God every day, we learn how to obey and fear the Lord. There are a number of Bible passages that tell us about God's people reading the Word of God on a regular basis, and it's tied to obedience and fear. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 31 and verse 11. Exodus 31. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 11. When all Israel is come to appear before Jehovah thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people and the men and the women and the little ones. It's a family affair. And thy sojourner that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn and fear Jehovah your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known may hear and learn to fear Jehovah your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. Reading helps us to learn and fear God. And we need that so much today. Another short-term blessing is that it keeps us humble every day. Turn with me to 2 Kings 22. You remember the account there of Josiah and the various reforms that he made. And those reforms came about because the Word of God, the Law of Moses, was read to him. And when it was, chapter 22, verses 8 through 10, it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. And he wants to know what this meaning is, and he learns from the prophetess what this meaning is. And then in chapter 23 and verse 1, he gathers all the people together for a reading of the law of God, and they begin immediately to engage in reforms and restorations and restitutions and reformations. But it came about because he rent his clothes. It gives us humility. that I need to be doing what God wants me to be doing. In contrast to this, if you want to turn over to Jeremiah 36, his son, Jehoiakim, when the law was read to him in Jeremiah chapter 36, he took a knife and cut it up and threw it in the fire. I don't want to hear this. I certainly don't want to do it. And so you have a father who is humble when the word of God is read to him, and you have a son who's obstinate when the word of God is read to him, and I don't want to listen to this. But with the right attitude, the reading of the word of God can bring us humility. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8. The reading of the word of God on a regular basis can bring us the blessing of respect and reformation. When the word of God was read, the temple has been rebuilt and the walls have been rebuilt, and the people asked Ezra to gather together. Notice in verse 1, they spake unto Ezra to bring the book of the law. They wanted it, the people. The people asked Ezra, would you read to us? That shows their great attitude. And when that law was read from morning until noon, the text says that they stood up. They stood up. What great respect there was for the word of God. Verse 6, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. This past summer, I had a gospel meeting in Rogers, Arkansas. I don't think I've ever experienced this before, but they stand up at the scripture reading. They stand up at the scripture reading because of that verse right there. They want to show respect for the word of God. So, person comes up to do the scripture reading. This morning's scripture reading will be such and such. Everybody stands up. I like that. We stand up at funerals when they're coming down the aisle. We stand up at weddings when they're standing up when somebody important comes in the room, some official. The standing up shows respect. It's a custom. And we don't have to physically stand up every day when we read the Word of God, although there wouldn't be anything wrong with that. In our heart, it reminds us each day to have respect for the Word of God. We're reading the very words of God. Then, of course, these reformations took place. You remember when Jesus, this custom was extended on into the first century, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, when Jesus is in the synagogue, he stood up to read and sat down to teach. Why did he do that? It's showing respect for the Word of God. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 13. Another good short-term blessing is that it gives us reminders. And of course, as we get older, I can certainly appreciate this. When we read the Word of God every day, we're reminded of what God wants for us. You remember in Nehemiah 13 and 1, on that day, they read in the book of Moses, in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that an Ammonite and a Moabite should not enter into the assembly of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, in the book of Numbers, to curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing, and it came to pass when they heard the law that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Oh yeah, we're not supposed to be doing such and such. Reminders. Isn't that great? So I'm doing my daily Bible reading. Oh, I just read something that Paul wants me to be doing, that Jesus wants me to be doing, that Peter wants me to be doing. You see, reminders. That's always a great thing. Knowledge. We just learn more. In the Exodus passage, that they may learn. We just learn more. And then the blessing of application. We learn how to apply things in our life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. I like how Jesus several times in the Gospels asks the Jews around him, have you never read? That shows up several times in the Gospels. Well, Jesus knew that they had physically and literally read the law of Moses. They did that each Sabbath day. But many of them were not applying these things. And when they're questioning the disciples about plucking grain, have you never read what David did? Matthew 12:3. Verse 5, have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath day the priest enter into the temple? Matthew 19:4. Matthew 21:16. Matthew 22:31. Mark 12:10. And on and on. Have you not read? He's not asking, have you not read that verse before? He's saying, have you not read this and then learned from it and applied it? And that's what they had not done. So as we read each and every day, we learn not just information, but we're asking ourselves, how do I now go out and apply this in my life? We gain greater understanding. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, as he's talking about the coming destruction of Jerusalem and what Daniel prophesied, Jesus says in Matthew 24:15, let him that reads understand. It gives us greater understanding. We start putting two and two together. We start piecing together the things that God has in His plan, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and things that Jesus said with what the apostles said. We start piecing things together and connecting the dots, and we're gaining understanding of what God wants for us. We're filling in the gaps. What a great blessing these things are. And then, of course, turn with me to Acts 20 and 32. We get that daily encouragement and edification and building up. Paul understood this and mentioned this to the elders there at the church at Ephesus. He says that the word of His grace, which is able to build you up, the blessing of encouragement and edification and understanding and application and knowledge and reminders and respect and obedience, all of these things are important for us. They're important for our young people. And I want our young people to hear the importance of reading the Word of God every day. I missed the announcement this morning. I'm not sure if it was made, but the college class got 100%. So, good for you. Let's keep that up. You've heard the expression that a Bible falling apart usually belongs to a person who isn't. You heard that before? A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to a person who isn't. So today, I've got this problem, and I've got that problem, and I'm just all out of sorts, and I'm all out of whack. People are like that all the time in society. And I'm taking this for this problem, and I'm taking that for that problem, and I'm seeing my strength for this, and my strength for that. Read your Bible. There may be a few things from time to time where we need some medical help or some professional help, but I would say that the majority of it can be solved by reading your Bible and following its message and living by it. Stop and think about it, brethren. What did people do for thousands of years before modern medicine and psychs and shrinks and all of that? What did they do? You know what they did. A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who's not. Let's have a Bible that's falling apart. If you're cold, let it warm you. If you're asleep spiritually, let it wake you. If you're a backslider, let it warn you. If you're unclean, let it wash you. If you're disobedient, let it whip you. If you're uncertain, let it witness to you. If you're unsaved, let it win you. There's so many blessings that come from reading the Word of God. And John opens up, Jesus through John opens up in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. And he says there, blessed is the one who reads. We're blessed when we read. That's why we need to do it each and every day. And then last of all, because it is requested of our elders. If we place membership here, if we choose to place membership at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, sometimes we overlook this and it's good to remind ourselves of it, myself included. If we voluntarily choose to place membership at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, we are voluntarily choosing to place ourselves under the leadership and oversight of the elders. And they want us to read our Bible each and every day. That's a serious thing. I think sometimes we forget that. I think sometimes we look at things as sort of completely optional or I'll do it or not do it. We forget the element of what our elders are asking us to do. Sometimes I will hear the comment, and it's a good comment, around the Lord's table about the elders have chosen this time or the elders, you know, and that's good. But do you know that the elders have also asked us to read our Bible each and every day, and we need to do that? Obey them, Hebrews 13, 17, that have the rule over you. That's the elders. They've requested it of us. They've asked us to do it. And they themselves are setting that example, and we are to imitate that. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. But then look at verse 7 with me. Hebrews 13, 7. The same elders there. Remember them that had the rule over you, men that spake unto you the word of God, and consider the issue of their life. Imitate their faith. That's not a suggestion. It's not an option. It's a command. And they are setting that example for us. Let's do it because it's requested of us, and the request has been made for it by the elders. We have an opportunity to read the Word of God each and every day. Think about that man who read the Bible four times through with his tongue. And compare that with how easy it is for us to read the Word of God. We can open with prayer. Say a brief prayer before you start reading. Read a portion of God's Word with reverence and respect. Read realizing that it's the very Word of God. And then finish with obedience. And we will see those blessings come in our life. I mentioned to you short-term blessings. There's also then the long-term blessing of salvation with God in heaven. Timothy knew the sacred scriptures from a babe, and he was on his way to heaven. We receive the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. We have that long-term goal and that long-term blessing of being able to be saved. And we also have that long-term blessing of setting the right example for our children. Now, with our families, with newborns and young children, now is the time to start that habit of reading the Word of God each and every day. From a babe, they've known those sacred writings. Yes, that's a part of the Bible classes here at Warfield Boulevard, and we count on Linda and others to teach our babes and our young children. But those sentiments that are mentioned in Scripture are for us parents at home. Will Jesus say to you and I in the judgment day, have you never read? I don't want to hear that from Jesus. I don't want Jesus to say to me in the judgment day, have you never read such and such? I want to stand in the judgment having read God's Word. And I know you want that as well. I want to close with this. Maybe you have heard it before. Maybe you've seen it before. Called the Diary of a Bible. I'll close with this and then we will extend our invitation. January the 1st, my family has made a New Year's resolution to read me every day. They read Matthew 1. January the 15th, been resting quietly for a week. The first few nights they read me regularly, but evidently have forgotten me. February the 11th, the owner used me for a short time. He was asked to substitute for Bible class and had to look up some verses during breakfast. Went to Bible class, but was put in car between services. March the 7th, spring cleaning is going on. I was dusted and put in my old place. Had been in the owner's car for several weeks. April the 20th, Grandma came for a visit. I was in her lap all afternoon. She spent most of her time on 1 Corinthians and also chapter 15. April the 21st, the 22nd, 23rd, I was read by Grandma every afternoon this week. May the 4th, I have a few green stains on my pages. Some early spring flowers were pressed in me. June the 18th, I look like a scrapbook. They have stuffed me full of clippings from the newspaper. One of the girls got married. July 27th, packed in a suitcase with clothes and other things, off on vacation, I guess. August the 10th, still in the suitcase, though nearly everything else has been taken out. August the 14th, home again, put back in my old place. Quite a journey, though I do not see why they wanted me to go. September the 29th, they used me once today. One of them is quite sick. Right now I am shined up and on the center of the coffee table. I think the preacher is coming over. October the 19th, have lots of company on the table with me. There's a comic book and TV guide and Time magazine and Movie World on top of me. Wish I were read as much as they were. November the 11th, the owner came home from worship services today upset about something the preacher had said. He snatched me up to hunt for a few verses, but never could find the one he was looking for. December the 26th, family got a new TV set. And now I'm set on the shelf. They need more room, so they put me in a cabinet. Expect to get me out around January the 1st. So when your Bible writes a diary this year for you and for me, what will the diary of your Bible say? What will the diary of my Bible say? Hopefully it will say that my owner opened me every day and glean those great blessings from the Word of God. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. I gave my life for thee. Jesus gave his life and he gave us his word. Let's give him a few minutes each day and read his word. And if we can assist you this morning in making your life right with God, either in being baptized into Christ or coming back to the Lord in some way, let us assist you. Why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?